Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by World of Spas, Edmonton's number one hot tub and swim spa dealer. The ideal place to start your daily vacation on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
534 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Dave Campbell, Kellen Kennedy with you. It's Oilers Now, where guests receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night in the town, reach out to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Every meal's an occasion, and you can tell Chris, Chef Eltaf, that Oilers Now sent you. Ruth's Chris is open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. They're open 4 o'clock. Oiler game days light tomorrow. All right, before we go to Brian Lawton, I'm asking, can you think of injuries that affected your team that altered the course and direction of the squad? This text comes in. Lubomir Vyshnovsky's season-ending injury and what turned out to be Mac T's last season as a head coach. I believe that injury is why the Oilers missed the playoffs in 2008-2009. You know what I remember about that year, Dave Campbell? That was the year Dan Tenser was hosting the show, the pre- and post-game show, yes. And Mac T had basically said a coach's time has come, and yeah. So he pretty much fired himself.
Yes.
And he knew that the time was, it had run its course. We were at a Millennium Place, and so we had this little discussion, then I got a text from somebody saying he's No, just hold on a sec here. But no, Mac T ultimately left at that time and then resurfaced a few years later. They were in it until the final four games that year.
I remember, I think it was the final Saturday of the regular season. They beat the Vancouver Canucks. And then I think a couple, and they were only like 5 points back.
I mean, yeah, yeah.
It was a survival game, and then they lost to the Kings, I believe, on the next game.
Yeah.
And they were terrible.
So yeah,
it was a frustrating year. They had some good moments. I mean, Sheldon Surrey had a great year, and
yeah.
But that was the last.
He got hurt the next year, Pat Quinn's year, and he was never the same after that injury.
No,
Sheldon Surrey.
No.
Yeah, and him and Steve Tambellini didn't see eye to eye on a bunch of stuff.
No, right from the get-go.
All right, we bring aboard Brian Lawton for Wow Factor Desserts. Experience the power play of tropical flavors that have you cheering for more with their mango berry cheesecake. I got to try that. Visit wowfactordesserts.com today. Hello, Brian Lawton. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, Bob. How are you?
Good. Obviously, news in oil country today involving Connor McDavid, and it's not. And Dave Campbell made a really good point. Just, you know, Chris Knobloch saying, look, we're going to talk to Connor about tomorrow. That's how close, you know. He might miss a game or two. I'd be stunned if he. I think he'll probably play Saturday against Vancouver. But it does change things a little bit, the dynamic for the Oilers. Now, that said, every team in the league, Brian's got to deal with injuries. Give me your thoughts on it.
I've watched a lot of things over the years, teams trying to go for records, trying to, you know, muscle guys in there in order to finish a little bit higher. I think the top priority is always just being in the playoffs. When it comes to Connor McDavid, it's tough to say because there's not enough information available for us, but I would never, regardless of where they're at now, and it's not tenuous, but they still have a chance to win their division. And that's meaningful, but I would much rather have a healthy, ready-to-go Connor McDavid in the playoffs and finish it anywhere where they're around right now. It wouldn't alter me to say, geez, we really need you. I would not have him playing, depending on what's actually going on.
Played almost 500 games in the NHL. He was the number one overall pick in the 1983 NHL draft. Started Octagon's player agency and later was the GM of the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's Brian Lawton. Brian, during your playing career, do you recall an injury that derailed a team that you were with?
Not one that specifically derailed us. I think a key player is particularly on the North Star teams I was on. Greg Hartsburg had some long-term injuries, but that wasn't a complete derailment of the team. It certainly hurt it. Dino Ciccarelli comes to mind, Neil Broughton, Brian Bellows. The guys that really drove the game on a nightly basis first were the most critical guys, but nothing that ever completely derailed us. And those guys back then, the playoffs were insane. You used to play, back-to-back games, then day off, then back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And, guys were in and out of the lineup all the time back then. It's different now. There's a lot more consideration given to the players. I do think it raises the level of play overall as well, because it really was a marathon. My first few years in the NHL, I was mortified as to how much higher the playoff level was, basically because of the schedule. I think it's even higher now.
Yeah.
But I think it's because of different reasons, to be honest with you.
All you need to do right now, if you're a fan in Oil Country listening to Oilers Now, if you want to know the difference of the tempo and pace of how the game was played, just go type up on YouTube, Wayne Gretzky 6 points versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Oilers won the game like 7-3 or 8-3 or something like that. It was in Toronto. It was at Maple Leaf Gardens. There is nobody backtracking or backchecking in that game. There is nobody taking away time and space on the opposition player in the defensive zone. Like, there's none of that. It is, and so it's funny because teams used to skate every day, and I go, yeah, but the games were nowhere near as, yes, there was fighting, and you had some guys through, but it's a very different game. And the reality is the speed and tempo, the pace of today's game, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for how good the guys were in prior generations. But the game is structured to be more competitive, and it's better coached, and the players are in even better shape. I'm not saying they're tougher, because you guys were tough back then, but it is a different game, Brian, isn't it?
Completely different game. And God bless Glenn Sommore. He coached me for a number of years. I had a lot of coaches in Minnesota, but there wasn't really a lot of tactical play. It was always the same thing, which drove me crazy as a young player. You need to play harder. You need to bear down when you get a shot. It just never really resonated with me, to be honest with you. It was bizarre, but that's the way the game was. And, if you really go back and watch some games, they tend to play on NHL Network a lot of the St. Louis-Chicago games. Those were incredibly vicious games. Trust me if you ever see those. But it's not those ones that I'd be most interested in. It'd be teams like the Oilers that were certainly a very tough team, but really more fluid than the rest of the teams in the league. Paul Coffey flying around the ice like, another forward, up and back and up and back. It was fun hockey. I didn't enjoy playing anybody else as much as I did the Oilers, specifically because of the way they played.
And yet, they bombed you some nights, but you still love playing against them.
They beat us 12-8, one game. We've talked about that. They beat us in the playoffs 6-2, 6-4 or 5 one night when we were up like 4-1 going into the third, in the third game of a,
best
four game series. Yeah, just crazy stuff. You can't, but I can honestly tell you, I love those games. First of all, I didn't have to worry about Dave Semenko. He could go mess with Willie Plett or guys like that. You could just play hockey and enjoy it for the speed and skill, which really was a precursor, because I do feel like Edmonton was the precursor to everything that's happening in the NHL now. And it really was Gretz and Curry and Anderson and so many more talented players on that team.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Coffey, because the other day I was actually sent Paul a text. Game 2, Edmonton and Montreal from 1981. Brian Lawton is joining us for Wow Factor Desserts. That is on YouTube. And there is a where Coffey starts the rush. And he was a rookie that season in the NHL. He was a healthy scratch at the start of the year. And he starts a rush, and all of a sudden, you realize he's passed like three guys, and then he takes a shot from just inside the blue line and blows one over Richard Seveny. And the fans in Montreal knew. They're like, uh-oh. Like, you know, Gretzky had the 5 points in game one. They win 3-1. But, it was the 70s Canadians and the new kids on the block, the early 80s Oilers. And then I think of that 85 series, because we've had some people, I've asked people, a significant injury that altered the course and direction of a team's year. And a couple guys have mentioned Tim Kerr here from the Flyers not being available in the 85 series. But I think the 85 series was a time warp. The Oilers look like a team that could play today. Right? Like,
they did.
39 years later, they look like, oh, they'd have no problem playing it. And the Flyers look like a team out of the mid-70s. They did. They tried to run around and hit guys late and intimidate, and the Oilers were, you know, just wheeling past. There's a play in Game 5, Brian, where Gretzky comes down. The Oilers are shorthanded, and he comes down from right and then cuts across the blue line to his left, and then drops a behind-the-back pass to Coffey, who activates, and he blows one past, it wasn't Lindbergh, it was Froese that was in net. And you're just like, wow. Like, it's that sort of spectacular. You know, it was just, so that's incredibly interesting that you thought, that was a favorite team of yours to play against. Let me ask you this. Does it matter if Edmonton comes in? Should they be going for first?
Well, if it's there, you want to grab it, but now you're just into risk-reward. And if you have a star player that may not be 100% healthy, the most important thing, in my opinion, for the Edmonton Oilers to have a long run is that their star players are rested. I think they've done the best job I've seen in the last, certainly, 3 to 5 of, you know, having players that are prepared to go deep in the playoffs. I've seen so many teams, Washington comes to mind, trying to rip off some wins for their goalie at the end of the year, losing in the first round quickly. It's just not worth it. The entire season is about the playoffs. Yes, the regular season matters. Yes, you want to win at all costs. But hockey players are a different breed. The ability that they have to turn it up in the playoffs is really impressive. And even in Connor and Leon's, you know, relatively brief time for what they have left of their careers, they've done incredible things. Leon's done incredible things. He's really risen. But that's the playoffs that pulls it out of players, and that's why, for me, it's all about the playoffs. Nobody cares if you won your division but lost in the first round. I hate to say that, but it's just true. It's the player's mentality. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. If Connor plays, then that would tell me that nothing serious. If he doesn't play, it doesn't mean it's serious, but it means it's enough to be cautious. Because, yes, everybody still wants to win, but you have to weigh the risks and reward of playing anybody that's injured at this time of the year.
Did you ever, when you were GM of Tampa Bay or during your time as an agent, tell a guy he couldn't play? Say you're not playing?
Nothing, you know, particular. There were some guys that were injured. There's different reasons. Typically, you know, Tampa was not a playoff team when I was there. They were in building mode. There were some guys that, you know, they get injured and, you know, you get to the end of the year and you see this go on right now with teams around the league, particularly the teams that are out of the playoffs. And, you know, occasionally you'll see a veteran player that they'll try a younger player to give them an opportunity.
Yeah.
This happens.
Jack Hughes gets
the reality. No, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The fans in Edmonton do. The biggest thing for me with the fans in Edmonton is that I feel like they recognize this, but they're really blessed to be able to watch, you know, the Oilers play on a nightly basis. Doesn't mean they win every night. Of course they don't. But there's no other team that I watch more than the Edmonton Oilers. They just play a brand of hockey that is reminiscent of the early 80s. A club that you could drop into this era and would be really successful. But they get it every night now, and that's a real treat. And, you know, this has been an incredible year for Edmonton.
We had a lot of conversations about Evan Bouchard. He leads the NHL in defense scoring since the All-Star break. His partner, Matthias Ekholm, leads NHL defensemen in even strength scoring, 5-on-5 since the All-Star break. Does that make them a number one tandem in you, a number one pairing?
It does, and there's a lot of analytics that back that up, to be honest with you. It's pretty evident out there, and I feel like people know it. It's strange because Evan is obviously sucking up a lot of the oxygen because of the high number of points he's put up, and, you know, that's his first superpower, and he's finally reaching the potential that Edmonton saw when they drafted him. I heard Peter Chiarelli, I think, was talking about it the other day, saying, you know, he thought this is who he could be. Well, he is that person now. But it's almost more impressive to me, Bob, what Matthias Ekholm has done.
I know. It's crazy.
He doesn't get that kind of, you know, airtime. But honestly, the way he's played, the mobility and the range and the depth, I love the way he plays. He plays to win every night. If that means he needs to push himself to do things that maybe he doesn't normally do, chip in offensively more than maybe you're accustomed to with him. I just think he's had a remarkable year. I mean, enough to be talked about at least as a candidate for a Norris Trophy, in my opinion. I was a little bit disappointed. I saw the national media. They weren't talking about Evan at all, which was disappointing, but certainly, you know, they had Yossi and really three other players ahead of them, which kind of surprised me. But Matthias Ekholm is the guy that has really put in an incredible season. He's far exceeded expectations, I would be certain of, for the management there. He's just played absolutely tremendous for Edmonton.
Six goals, 24 points in 30 games since the All-Star break, plus 25. That's even strength scoring for Matthias Ekholm. Yeah, you mentioned it. The trade, I mean, there's no way Ken Holland could have thought it would have worked out this well.
Ken should claim victory on that because it has worked out this good. But the reality is that Ken's so honest. I think he'd tell you, look, we thought he was really good. We didn't necessarily think he would reach this level. You always want that to happen. You just don't want it to go the other way. So most of the guys are very humble. Ken's pretty humble. You know, he's proven a lot in this league, so he doesn't have any reason to be boastful or braggadocious. But I do think if you got him in a quiet moment over a beer, he'd tell you, man, that worked out even better than I thought.
Yeah, it's funny how things work out, eh? Because he hadn't made a big blockbuster trade deadline acquisition for 15 years. Think about that for a second. Brian, one final one for you. Octagon is the agency that represents Leon Draisaitl, and we don't expect Connor McDavid to line up tomorrow, possibly not in the lineup Friday. I mean, is this the year that Octagon, I mean, if you're the Oilers, can you afford to have it hanging in the balance with Leon into next season, which would be the last year of his 8-year contract? Or do you need to have a resolution to this by the summer for a potential extension, or know which way you're going to be going?
You know, it's a really interesting deal. It's not just Leon. Obviously, Leon's contract is coming up, and that'll be the focus as he turns to a point where signing him becomes, you know, realistic. Ultimately, there's so many different things at play. One of them that doesn't get talked about is that Leon obviously loves playing with Connor. Connor's up after Leon. And there's no way to tie those two together the way it's lining up timing-wise for being able to sign players. So, you know, that's a dynamic that I don't think has been talked enough about out there. So if Leon Draisaitl maybe wasn't signed right away, I don't think it would be that big a deal. I think that's just another complexity to what's going on with the Oilers or the organization. Yeah, it's just something that's out there. I've thought about it. Trust me. I used to work at Octagon. If I've thought about it, they've thought about it.
you didn't just work at Octagon. You started Octagon.
Right. I participated in a lot of negotiations with a lot of people there. So I'm a part of the training program there. That's all. But you're always looking at everything, and that would be something that I haven't really heard it out there. It's just something I was thinking about Leon's situation. And, you know, if he's going to commit for 8 more years, he probably in part would be doing it because, you know, it just looks like such a fantastic experience playing a team that's winning and a team that has the best player in hockey. So it's just another twist to it. And I think because of that, you can't read too much into if Leon doesn't sign right away. He very well may. I'm giving my thoughts. They're not anybody else's, so we'll see what happens.
Great stuff. I think you've piqued the interest of the listeners. Brian, love having you on the show. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
You bet. Brian Lawton's appearances are brought to you by Wow Factor Desserts. Experience a power play of tropical flavors that'll have you cheering for more with their mango berry cheesecake. Visit wowfactordesserts.com. And you're invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. You explore Southeast Asia. You'll discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. This is a 19-day tour. It includes seven-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend more time in some of the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. Book by May the 31st and save up to $1,300 per person for full details. Contact New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. We'll go to break at 5:54 in Edmonton. Come back for a quick little segment, and we'll get to the Oilers Now Prospect Report with Dave Campbell when we return on Oilers Now.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
You know, we focus on hockey 99% of the time on this show. And sometimes we talk a little college football, a little NFL, a little Elks, maybe some U of A Golden Bears, some Oil Kings. And rarely we talk politics. But let me ask you a question at 5:57 in Edmonton. Dave, if there was a future federal leader and he was an Oilers fan, would you be interested?
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool?
Yeah.
You know whose name is getting out there? He's got two speeches coming up here in the next couple days. Former head of the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England. Now, some people center-right don't like him. They think he's a bit of a World Economic Forum type guy. Mark Carney is a dyed-in-the-wool Edmonton Oilers fan.
Okay.
Okay. He's from the West End in Edmonton, went to Harvard, was Pete Chiarelli's roommate and best man for Pete's wedding. And there are a lot of people think that he's warming up in the bullpen for the inevitable step down for Mr. Trudeau.
All right, then.
And it's, if you just type up Mark Carney on Twitter right now, you'll see the stories. They're popping up. This is interesting stuff. There you go. How's that for useless, superfluous information that this show does as well as anybody?
Now I'm going to crawl out of the politics space.
There we go. Okay, let's get it back on the rails. We're going to go to the Oilers Now Prospect Report brought to you by Reface Magic. I don't know what their politics are, but I can tell you, you can save money on your kitchen renovation. Don't replace Reface.
Well, I'll tell you who's been playing really well, Oiler prospect, who signed a three-year entry-level contract last month as an undrafted free agent. His name is forward, he's a forward, James Steffen, Portland Winterhawks, and he has had a great season and a great playoff. 8 points in four games to lead the Hawks, including a hat trick en route to a four-point week. The Winterhawks are now gearing up for a second-round battle against the third-seeded Everett Silvertips. The Hawks are seeded second, but I'll tell you his regular season numbers here quickly. In 67 games, Steffen had 50 goals, 51 assists for 101 points.
There you go. It is 5:59. We're going to head off to a global news weather traffic update and come back with the unofficial president of the Mark Carney family. No, not a chance. Rob Brown, when we return in Oilers Now after a global news weather traffic update with Zach Ferguson.